Yeah, the way we started off iterating from the MVP that we launched, we tweeted about it, we open sourced it, and we got over 100 likes on Twitter, which is really exciting for us because we hadn't gotten any feedback at that point. We started to get some people leaving issues on our GitHub repo, and we used those to talk to those users and basically continue to build out functionality to make it easier and easier to create tests. So what was driving our roadmap at the beginning was, how can we make things easier? How do we reduce friction? And then let's use like what our users are asking us for towards that goal of constantly making things easier and easier. My name is John Pearl. I'm the CEO and co-founder of QA Wolf.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Spent 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to
do next.
Took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
Our company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, Mike.
Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really
it's
want it.
Not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart. And today, how John Pearl is helping you kiss bugs goodbye by delivering an AI-native approach to automated testing. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Grow your API user adoption and improve engineering velocity with friction-free integration experiences. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in minutes. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, and AutoTrader, you're in good hands. Join the Wolfpack at QAWolf.com. John Pearl is originally from Virginia and grew up on a computer. Mom is an architect and dad is an electrical engineer. John picked up programming at his first job when he automated a company's manifest creation. He has been passionate about programming ever since. Now he lives in Seattle with his wife and young family and dog. He enjoys all that Seattle offers, including the touristy stuff and finding places for his daughter to pick up leaves. At his previous company, John observed a failure in systems that required his customers to fall back to manual processes. The pain of this situation led him and his current co-founders to have a strong desire to make sure something like this never happened again. This is the creation story of QA Wolf.
So QA Wolf, we provide automated test coverage as a service for companies, which helps them do two things. One, ship faster because they have the confidence that they're not going to ship any bugs. And then number two, to prevent shipping bugs to production. We started the company to solve the problem that we had faced previously at every company I'd ever worked at. So we're really just building the best experience for automated testing for ourselves. And then now we have close to 200 companies that we're helping ship faster and more confidently with our automated QA. It started, I was leading engineering at this healthcare startup in New York called ZipDrug, and we had gotten acquired by Anthem, or on the path to that. So I wanted to do something new. I had been working at other companies for many years and really wanted to start a company to solve a problem that I'd faced before. My co-founder, Laura, she was one of the first engineers at CityBlock Health, and we both had the same problem. She saw that their team shipped bugs to production and it would break their platform, and they literally couldn't sign up or take care of patients. And for me, at the previous company I'd done engineering for, Dispatch, we shipped a bug once that broke our platform, and 30,000 plumbers and contractors who were relying on us to figure out where to go couldn't. They had to fall back to manual systems, and that led me on the journey to, how can I never let this happen again? Years later, still hadn't had a good solution, and we decided, let's go tackle this problem. Let's build an AI to automate all of QA, and that would be super magical. So that was the impetus. The journey to product market fit was like took a bit from there. That was the origination of the company.
Let's dive into that then. That's the perfect segue. So tell me about the MVP, the first version of the product you built. You know, maybe it was pre-product market fit. And then maybe as you start to progress through that process, I'm curious how it evolved. But tell me about that first version. How long it took you to build and what sort of tools you were using to bring it to life?
Yeah, so the first thing we did actually was we were trying to build AI to automate all of QA. So we really tried to boil the ocean. We saw that OpenAI had just beaten Dota with a reinforcement learning algorithm. And so we wanted to build our own reinforcement learning agent to basically play websites like they were a video game. And we worked on that for about 9 months. There's some pretty cool stuff. We got it to explore sites and we're reading lots of research papers and doing cutting edge work. My co-founder, Laura, we were eating lunch one day and she said, "Look, John, I didn't quit my job to become an AI researcher. If we don't ship something to people soon, I'm going to go take this other job offer that I have." From that conversation, that led us on the next month of how do we ship something as soon as possible that's practical, that real users could use. And that led us to building our MVP in 1 month, which was a open source tool to make it really easy to create automated tests with Puppeteer.
Let's stay on that 1 month. In that time frame, you know, there are certain decisions and trade-offs you have to make when you're building that first version of a product. I can hear some of the decisions that got you to that point was around, hey, we got to ship something or I'm going to go take another job, right? But within the portion of when you're building the product, tell me about some of the decisions and trade-offs you had to make and how you coped with those decisions.
It was really about speed. How can we get something out there to learn from real users? That's what we set out to do and really made a commitment to ourselves to put things out in the wild and get real feedback to drive things forward. So made a ton of trade-offs. Best experience would be as you're creating a test, like as using a website, it's automatically writing the test as you go. So you can see real-time progress. We didn't do that. We just built something where you started the recording. When you were done, it like generated the script. A lot of things on the UX side, we cut scope from. We really kept that time frame of we need to get something shipped in a month. We need to be able to record a demo and get that posted so we can get people using this thing.
This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Whether you're growing the user adoption of your public API or streamlining internal development, SDKs can turn the chore of API integration into effortless implementation. Unburden your API users from guessing their way around your API while keeping your team focused on your product. Shorten the time to live integration and provide a delightful experience for your customers. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate up-to-date, robust, idiomatic SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in just a matter of minutes. SDKs are feature-rich with type safety, auto-retries, and pagination. Everything you need to give your API the developer experience it deserves. Deliver a premium API experience without the premium price tag. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory to get started and generate your first SDK for free. So let's move forward then. You've got to the point where you have the product out there, it's working. How have you progressed it from that point and matured it? And I'm curious about, you know, kind of wrap that in a box. I'm looking for how you build your roadmap. How do you go about deciding this is the next most important thing to build or to address with QA Wolf?
Yeah, the way we started off iterating from the MVP that we launched, so we tweeted about it, we open sourced it, and We got over 100 likes on Twitter, which is really exciting for us because we hadn't gotten any feedback at that point. We started to get some people leaving issues on our GitHub repo, and we used those to talk to those users and basically continue to build out functionality to make it easier and easier to create tests. So what was driving our roadmap at the beginning was, how can we make things easier? How do we reduce friction? And then let's use like what our users are asking us for towards that goal of constantly making things easier and easier. So we also set up a Gitter open source chat where people could reach out to us and then we would talk with them. So that's what drove our roadmap for about another 6 months or so. Then what we realized over time is that there were two categories of requests people had or problems they had with QA Wolf. The first category of problems was, hey, I have this problem. Can you help me in terms of automating this test? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm stuck. So given their specific site, they were just stuck on how do they get past where they were. And the other category of problems were people just didn't know how to install an NPM package. It was too complicated that there's a lot of friction just figuring out how do you like install this NPM dependency. So that's what led us to building up the online version of QA Wolf, Figma for QA engineering, where would be a good analogy, where you don't have to install anything, but right from your browser, you can create tests and then also run them. And that was our first commercial product that we launched. So it was really all driven from the initial feedback and then thinking about what were the like commonalities of not the features people were asking for, but what was the problem they were looking to solve.
So then, you know, I hear you talking about we, and I'm curious about how you built your team. You know, I hear the co-founders and specifically how you met them or where you met them, but I'm curious about how you go about expanding that team and what do you look for in those people to decide that they're the winning horses to join you?
I think hiring great people is the most important thing you can do at your company. And we want to hire the best people in the world and create an environment for them to do their best work. To do that, we've made like a bunch of decisions in the hiring process. One is we want to pay people really well, so pay top of market comp, and to attract the best people. People don't solely work for money. That's just one aspect of why you're going to want to work somewhere. But I do think that it is an important aspect. And so we always want to have really great compensation. So that's never a reason you wouldn't want to work at QA Wolf. We also have set up an environment that gives people the freedom and then the other side of that ownership to make decisions so that they don't have a bunch of processes in their way. They can be given a problem to solve and then be able to tackle that problem. And we look for people that are looking for that. So they don't want a bunch of process, but they want to be given hard problems and be able to solve those problems. And then we design our interview process around that. So that gives us a good sense of, given if you join QA Wolf, can you do the same kind of work that we would have you work on? And so we want to attract people with really great compensation, with a great environment. And then we want to do some kind of engagement that we can test. If we're working together, it's going to be successful.
This episode is sponsored by Vanta. You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors. But they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. And that's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How, you ask? Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted VCSOs to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. Simplify compliance and get $1,000 off at vanta.com/codestory. That's vanta.com/codestory. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. If slow QA processes bottleneck your software engineering team and you're releasing slower because of it, you need a solution. You need QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, AutoTrader, and many more, you're in good hands. Ready to ship faster with fewer bugs? Join the Wolfpack at QAWolf.com to see if they can help you squash the QA bottleneck. Let's talk about scalability, and this will be super interesting. Was this built with scale in mind from day one, or, you know, abstractions or things like that are kind of architected that way? Or have there been interesting areas where you've had to fight it as you've grown?
We'll continue to fight things as we grow. I think that's a good sign if you're solving problems that have to do with scaling. That means the hardest thing to do is to find, I think, when you're first starting, product market fit and something that people are willing to pay for. Solving scaling challenges, it's in many ways easy because you have a very clear problem. And if you have a clear problem, then you can come up with a solution to that problem. There's many stories of us fighting scalability, but I remember we had just gotten product market fit when we started selling test coverage as a service. We went from pretty much zero to $1 million of revenue in a few months. We took our first vacation in multiple years because we had hired a few engineers, and I don't know, you just need to take vacations. It's important. But I was at Universal Studios, like in line for getting on a roller coaster, and then I got a PagerDuty alert that our whole run system was crashing. So I had to get out of line, went to the lockers, grabbed my laptop, and basically just deleted container instances on Azure because the way we built our whole run system was a total mess. But we got something that worked for the first few hundred users. And then we completely rebuilt our whole run system. So instead of using like serverless containers, then we, you know, adopted Kubernetes and set up much more scalable run orchestration and stuff like that. But at the beginning, we didn't need that because we didn't have many users. It was a few months of pain to fix and build a much more scalable run system. And then we had to do a second iteration of that. But I think if we had invested all that time up front, we might have never gotten a product that people were willing to pay for, because we had to solve many product challenges beyond run system scalability to actually deliver on our current experience. And I think it's really important to make those trade-offs, especially when you're starting and deprioritizing scalability until you have a real problem there.
So as you step out on the balcony, you look across all that you've built with QA Wolf, what are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of is that I feel we've solved the problem that we set out to solve. And now we're focused on doing that even better and solving that problem across more and more domains. But when I led engineering at a few different companies, like, we always had to fall back to doing manual QA, because the investment in terms of setting up automated end-to-end tests was just too much time and effort versus the actual return on investment. And so we always ended up doing manual QA, which slowed down our release process. Now with QA Wolf, like, we're using QA Wolf to ship the platform, and it's incredible. We have this really fantastic test coverage that we're able to run all of our tests really quickly in parallel, and it doesn't take up any of our engineering time. But every single time we want to release, we know that we can do that without hurting the near 200 engineering teams relying on us to run all of their tests. We've solved that problem. We have a great solution that we use ourselves to be able to ship a lot quicker and without the fear and the trauma of the past of the outages that have caused. So I feel really proud about that. And then the second thing is just the impact that we're making and how we're not just helping ourselves, but we're helping all of the other companies that we're helping. And our customers tell us the impact that we're making for them. And then they're also posting about that on G2. And we can see we're the top rated QA solution on G2, which just feels really awesome that we're living our number one value, which is to make magic. And we're not just making magic for ourselves, we're making magic for all of these other companies across all these different industries, and we're helping them make a big impact in the world.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
We talked a little bit about the journey to getting to product market fit, where we built the open source tool, then we built this online platform. There's actually one more like mini pivot that we did before we got product market fit. And that was, we had a prospective customer that told us, hey, your tooling is awesome, but I just don't have the time to use this. And here's my engineering team. Can you just do this for us? And both of my co-founders, they were like, yeah, we definitely should do that. But I was like, no, I don't think we should end up doing all of this work for them because it's not going to be a scalable business model. We're a technology business. And I was completely wrong there. I didn't want to overrule what they were saying. So we ended up going for it. But that's what actually got us product market fit, was not just selling the technology, but selling the outcome of having all of your automated coverage managed for you. If I didn't go with what they had asked me to do, which is just, let's just try this out, we could have ended up having a failing company and never gotten to where we are today.
John, this will be fun. Tell me what the future looks like for QA Wolf, the product, and for your team.
So our mission is to eliminate every software bug in the world. The future of QA Wolf is all based off of that. So we want to deliver more test coverage for more different platforms. We're doing web testing today, and we raised this round of funding to add in native mobile testing. So now we can not only help companies catch bugs on web apps and APIs, but we just launched Android testing, and early next year, we're going to be launching iOS testing. So I'm really excited to be able to help all of the apps that I use on a daily basis and all of the different companies building Android and iOS apps prevent shipping bugs to their users. The other thing I'm really excited about is automating more and more of what we're doing today to be able to deliver this coverage faster for our customers and at a lower cost than even now through AI. So we've been making a ton of investments in AI. We've been rolling out AI into what I think of as, we're building the most efficient test coverage factory in the world by vertically integrating and automating as much as we can to streamline things. And we're starting to roll out AI within our factory, basically automating a lot of what our QA engineering team is doing manually today. It's really exciting just what's possible with AI that was not possible a year and a half ago. GPT-4 completely unlocked a whole new slew of things that could be automated, and the costs are coming down to a point where it's actually economical to deploy that. So I'm really excited in terms of the technology we can build to streamline things and make this test coverage accessible to earlier and earlier teams and make it more affordable and easier to scale.
We'll switch to you, John. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
I've been very inspired by Netflix and how they built their culture. So they have a book that really helped shape how we designed our company. They really give their colleagues and employees there a lot of freedom. For example, their expense policy is act in the company's best interest. Everyone is able to purchase whatever they want, but it's just based off of make sure this is in Netflix's best interest. And I love that mentality of enabling people to use their judgment and make decisions on their own. Hire great people. That's another thing they focus on, and paying top market compensation and getting out of their way. So a lot of their culture we've been influenced by. And also Make Magic comes from Disney, and their pursuit to make magic, I think, is a very meaningful pursuit. And you spend a lot of your life working, so it's really nice to do something that's special. And having that goal of making magic and really going above and beyond, and whatever you're doing, making that very special, I find that super motivating.
Last question, John. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world. And can't we show it off to you right there on the plane? What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit several times?
My advice to them would be to get it out there, try and sell it, and learn from the market. That's the advice that I give every technical founder I ever talk to, is just don't be afraid of shipping something. It's never going to be something that you're proud of, in the sense that you always want to make it better. But there's nothing like learning from real users and trying to get people to pay for something to really evaluate and help shape the direction in terms of what you should be building.
That's fantastic advice. Well, John, thank you for being on the show today. And thank you for telling the creation story of QA Wolf.
Thank you so much for having me, Noah. This was really fun.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story.
Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.